Now, back to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live and on location.
Coming to you live from St. John Fisher College, where the Browns and the Bills held their first of two joint practices earlier today from 10 to noon. We're going to go to the phone lines now before we hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. We got our guy Chevy in New Jersey. Chevy.
Gentlemen, hello.
What's up, man?
How you doing, man?
Good. Hey, I think this is a real good litmus test. I think that you got to hand to Pettine that he's really tried to make the GM Farmer's picks work, and that some of them aren't passing the litmus test. I know that the guy we got rid of, Buster Screen, he used to have problems like this the first couple of years too, and he turned out all right. But you know, if they don't pass the litmus test at this point, even Hausler, you know, we can't afford to lose guys like Phipps and Pryor. Thanks, guys.
You got it, and you're right, and I do give props, and I got an opportunity to speak to Coach Pettine on the field as well as Ray Farmer, and I, you know, let him know that at no point in my career did we have an opportunity to go scrimmage anyone else. It was just
never did this.
Never did this. So, and being here, I love the concept, and in being here, and I think today, from as I've mentioned already, physicality, mentality, practice tempo, all those things are something the Cleveland Browns, who are a young football team, can learn from.
And this is a veteran team from the Buffalo Bills. And as you said, sometimes you look at teams and you look at – they got a lot of grown men over there.
Yeah.
They're grown men who are out there being professionals. And the Bills certainly have that, and they have a lot of physicality. And you can tell they've already taken on the temperament of Rex Ryan. There was a lot of woofing. And, again, I'm very interested to see how the offense of the Cleveland Browns responds tomorrow with physicality. The execution was there. When Josh Kenna had time, threw some nice deep balls today. It wasn't that they weren't able to execute. It was just there was a difference in terms of the physicality at the point of attack, and that's something I think that the Browns certainly are going to want to rectify going forward. Let's go to DeAndre in Youngstown now.
Yeah, hey, how you guys doing today? First off, I want to say,
man,
I'm really excited about the season.
Good.
And I want to also say it's time for the Browns to get mad. I'm not saying you go out there and get hurt and get violent, but you have to realize how the NFL views you. Get out there and take it out on that other team. Get out there and put up points. Realize you represent the Browns fans in the city of Cleveland, and go out there and play hard. I want everybody that's listening and y'all on the radio to have a good day, and I will see you. Go Browns.
Thank you, DeAndre.
Go Browns.
Appreciate the call, man.
A little barking.
And he's absolutely right, and I think that it is about that time, you know, and I think for what's a little difficult here, as we've mentioned already, you've got, you know, true professionals, technicians, and Alex Mack and Joe Thomas, who've gone to multiple Pro Bowls. Of course, Joe Thomas, you know, 8 and 8 years. And it's like, but you're not going to get that mean streak out of Joe Thomas. You know what I mean? You're not going to get that vocal MFing, you know, motivational speech out of Joe Thomas or Alex Mack. You probably won't get it out of Joe Hayden, but those are your leaders. So what does that mean? That means that the Dansbys and the Whitners, whether it has to come from an assistant coach or a young or a Danny Shelton, if the guy's going to be thrown in the fire and have to play a lot of football for you, he has every opportunity to open his mouth, even as a rookie. Take leadership, take ownership of this football team, play with pride, and play together. That's the one thing, and I'm not saying that I have not seen that, but I like that call from DeAndre because you're playing for more than yourself.
Yes,
and,
you are.
And the way it looked today is we got a bunch of good guys who love each other and have fun. And on the other side for the Buffalo Bills, you had a bunch of dogs who just wanted to basically chew up and spit out the other football team.
And that's what you need. But when you're going to be predicated on toughness and physicality at the point of attack, it's got to at some point manifest itself because it's all about into actions this year. Speaking of the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, he spoke with the media following today's joint practice.
I think it'll be some great tape to go off of. I think it was, you know, anytime you can get out and get it against another team in a semi-controlled environment, you're going to get more work done than just going against yourselves. And then some of these situations are even better than a preseason game that you can simulate some things and then not put your guys or especially your quarterbacks at risk. So I think it's good work. To me, the biggest misfortune of the day, obviously, is Ty Powell. I don't have the details on it, but I understand it's a knee. And got to know him a little bit when I was here a couple years ago. And, you know, it's a great kid. It's tough to see that.
Did you know what answers maybe ahead today on both sides? Did you feel?
Well, I spent my time over here. For the most part, the Bills' defense, I thought, had the upper hand. Just I think some of our guys are at different tempos. They got to understand the guy across from them's you know, is going at game type speed, other than the live tackling part. And we were just inconsistent with our expectancy of what we were getting from the other side. So I thought they did a good job. We made some plays. Unfortunately, I thought just some of the self-inflicted stuff, which we'd been able to avoid a lot of camp, jumping off sides, two bad snaps that likely would have been positive plays, turned out that would have been disastrous as part of a drive. So, again, very much looking forward to getting back and seeing what it looks like on the film.
Mike, what's the major benefit for seeing, other than seeing different uniforms and your players seeing different people, from having this kind of work?
Because I think the energy is that of it's, I mean, it's game-type speed, especially inside with the lines. And it's, to me, it's competing against, you know, somebody other than your own. You kind of get into a comfort zone when you're going against your own guys and you don't get a good sense for where you stand. And I think the adrenaline ratchets up a little bit and guys want to prove something to other guys in the league. So I think it's just naturally better competition.
Mike, how much on scripted during the scripted? I mean, did you guys change your format?
We wanted to make sure that we got situations. So that's why, it wasn't unscripted as far as – it was unscripted as far as the calls, but we scripted what the situations would be. So we didn't have calls on the call sheet, but it was, okay, move the ball here, now it's this. Wanted to make sure that we moved the field, so we got some work backed up. And we got some work in the drive zone, then obviously got some low red zone work.
Mike, how beneficial can this be? You know, obviously the Bills have a really strong defensive line. You guys have a good offensive line. How beneficial could it be for, A, your offensive line, and, B, particularly a kid like Cam Irvin? Against those type of players.
No, I think it's great work. I mean, this is one of the best defensive fronts in the game. You could make that argument just looking at their front a year ago. It'd be hard to argue with that. And for our guys to be able to go out and go against them in live work, there's no way to have any substitute for that.
Now you have four quarterbacks out. Is that why you brought in Aaron Ross, or is he somebody you would have brought in otherwise?
Just felt from a depth step standpoint in that position, you know, with Nelson still not back, Desir not being back, with Joe being down for a couple days, we wanted to make sure that we were covered there depth-wise. That when you start to lose guys at certain positions, corner being one of them, it can really affect how you practice. So we wanted to make sure our bases were covered there.
Does he look right after the Achilles last year?
I don't think we've seen enough. I think it's too small a sample size. And again, I didn't get a chance to see him at all today because I was over on this field.
How about Mike Brown? What's the reasoning behind that?
Same thing. That just with Mingo being down and just kind of we're playing Dylan Wynn out of place. I mentioned that the other day. We want to be able to get him work at his true position to get a true evaluation. That would be unfair to him for us to evaluate him at outside linebacker essentially. And make a roster decision when he should be playing inside. So that allows us to move him back. And Everett's a guy. He's a professional. He's played quality reps in this league before. And we'll see what he can do.
Mike, you're on
Shaw. I think he's scheduled for surgery, I believe.
Why did it take 3 days for that injury to be disclosed? I mean, was it not originally thought to be serious?
No, I just think it was something that he didn't think was that serious and let it go and then came in the next day. And you know, I think sometimes guys, it's natural, guys get dinged and they don't want to go into the training room. And then they fear the worst. They, you know, hopeful that it's just something that's a little sore and it'll go away. So,
yeah. Not a broken thumb, ligament.
I don't believe it's a ligament damage, correct.
Well, how likely are you to go? You're aware of what Buffalo Bills fans are like and just – the reception that Dante Whitner got, I'm not sure if you heard. He got booed pretty much every time and some cat calls from the stands. You know, just your thoughts on that.
I mean, that's his history here. I wasn't here when he was here before. I wasn't part of him leaving. So I do know this. Bills fans are very passionate, very protective of their Bills, very protective of their city, as they should be. We feel it's very similar fan bases, Cleveland and Buffalo.
Very early in the day in practice, Gilbert was taking pump return knives off the Jugs machine. Is that something you guys are going to pursue?
I mean, that's on the tapes. He's proven that he can return kickoffs. I don't know whether that's part of Chris's plan. I'm not sure how he has returners. I know we're pretty set with Trav being the lead guy and Gabriel likely will be the backup. But I know that plays into your theory of getting the ball in his hands more. So.
any level of concern that Marlon Moore hit the ground and just got up with his helmet off kind of thing? And
yeah, and I talked to him about it. I mean, to take his helmet off is full. I told him he's too good looking to risk, you know, getting hit. It's not the place, not the forum to take your helmet off. It was an unfortunate thing. He's in a red jersey, which means he shouldn't be contacted. And I think linebacker, it's just instinct to reroute a guy. Sometimes you're not dialed in and you see, hey, somebody from the other team, I'm going to hit him. And he took offense to that, and we all saw what happened.
Hey, Mike, missed the top. What's it like to be back at St. John Fisher, and how the practice going for
you? Thought it went well. It's great work. Can't replicate this anywhere else. And it's great to get back here and just see a lot of familiar faces and some old friends, whether it's players, staff. I know a lot of us are feeling that way. A lot of the guys that were here in Buffalo before, Jim O'Neill, Anthony Weaver, Brian Fleury, Chuck Drisback. But it's great to be back. I enjoyed the time up here before, camp-wise. It's a great setting. I'm glad we could get up here and get some quality work done.
Rex, do you think you're likely to keep...
Yeah, I that was my understanding from the other field. It certainly was on this one. But, you know, hopefully that maybe the offenses will rebound tomorrow. We'll see.
Will the format be any different tomorrow?
It will be similar. Some of the scripted situations will be different. What we actually do, the emphasis in the team periods and in the scale. The only difference will be the action that took place on the grass field will now be on the turf. So our defense, their offense will be on the turf and vice versa on the grass field, just so one group's not practicing exclusively on the turf.
Tremont Williams had a few breakups today. What has he meant to the secondary, and how's he been on the draft?
That was a key signing for us to really stabilize that room, losing Buster. And anytime you can bring in a veteran guy that's proven that he can play at a high level for a long time in this league, it's a great example for our young guys. But he could certainly still play now. I think he's a great compliment to Joe. And he understands being opposite of Joe Hayden, he's going to get a lot of throws his way. We understand that as a staff, so we'll do some things to help him out, to hopefully free him up that he can make some plays. But he's I can't say enough good things about him. He's been the ultimate professional.
Are you surprised at age 32 that he's playing the way he is?
Is he really 32? No, I'm not surprised, because he takes care of himself. I mean, he's a guy that's lasted this long, and a lot of it's because of his intellect. Just to hear his conversations with Coach Hafley and Coach O'Neill and the other DBs, I mean, it is detailed, high-level stuff about routes and wideouts and things that he sees, and to me, that's so good for our young guys.
Are you likely to keep two quarterbacks, do you think?
I can't say that at this point. I mean, we'll come up with the position minimums. Obviously, two would be the minimum, and then we'll go with the we'll fill out the roster with the best players after that.
I mean, do you think that changes at all with Connor going down?
No, I mean, it's one less to choose from, but I can't talk about roster counts or numbers at this point.
Did you know much about Tremont before he got here? I mean, other than watching him on film?
Just seen him a lot on crossover tape. He had been up for free agency previously years ago and evaluated, and then liked him, and I went back and looked at my notes. And then when we watched him again this time, not much had changed. Still had a very good, you know, positive. All the reports were very positive, so we knew about him, but it was, you know, hadn't gone against him that much being in the NFC.
Were you in the Jets at the time or Baltimore? You were talking about
him when he was... Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure when he would have been up. He might have been as old as he is, at 32. It might have been two times that we ended up evaluating him in free agency.
Mike, I was thinking too, you mentioned you already a 32-year-old guy to stabilize here, and on the offense, you're bringing what amounts to a 36-year-old quarterback now. Mm-hmm. What has McCollum done in that regard for
Very similar. I mean, an advanced level of just quarterbacking knowledge, understanding of NFL defenses, understanding of our system, what each play is designed to do, what can get us in trouble, what can get us out of trouble, just all the little things a quarterback play that you pick up over years. And you know, we didn't bring him in here to coach. I mean, he can still spin it. You know, he showed that a couple times today, the one especially on the long ball to Gabriel. He's been, everybody that we talked to about him just raved about him as a person and a player. And it was an easy decision for us to bring him in.
So you weren't worried about the 1-10 and the problems last year in Tampa?
Not at all.
Mike, on the other hand over there, I know you weren't over here most of the day, but over there, that Justin Gilbert was getting beat consistently today. After, you know, Thursday's preseason opener and then something like that, do you worry about his confidence at all, or how do you get him going?
Yeah, and that's the life of a corner, that you got to have that short-term memory and to be able to bounce back from a play. And I mean, that's the best corners are confident corners, and that's something that that comes from having success. And if he's in a little bit of a slump, then it's on him. We got to help him, but he's got to play his way out of it. Well, one, you don't overreact. That you get them to stay true to their technique. When guys get in trouble, it's when their technique starts to slip. They start to kind of do things out of structure to overcompensate. And to me, it's a trust thing. Trust his own athletic ability. Trust what we're telling him, and just go out and, you know, take it play to play.
Mike, how was his attitude, and how did he take coaching well from Thursday night's game? Because we know you said he made that flawless comment before he saw the film, but has his attitude been good lately about?
Yeah, he's good in the meeting room. I mean, he understands his mistakes. He wants to learn. He wants to get better.
That was the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Obviously, a lot of discussion at the end there about Justin Gilbert, who certainly struggled today against the Buffalo Bills. When we come back, the godfather of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, the inventor, the man who birthed it from his loins, the notorious VIC, Vic Carucci, in
the
press box from St. John Fisher College. He will join us to talk about the Bills, the Browns, and everything else on our minds when we come back here on ESPN 850 WKNR.